Well, last night we saw that the Lord really loves us. Even before the foundation of the world, He loves us. And His loves never change. Your love change. In the morning, you love mommy and daddy. And then at noontime, you don't love them so much anymore because they scolded you. Right? And in the evening, you change again. Well, our love is fluctuating all the time, unfortunately. This is our human love. But God's love never changes. It's really wonderful. You need to realize this. Christ loves the church. And He gave Himself for the church. In the past, I've seen many who claim they love the church, but when trials came, when there are some offenses, problems here and there, all of a sudden, they don't love the church anymore. Right. I'm glad our Lord is not like that. If the Lord's love for you and me change all the time, we will be in deep trouble. Yeah. Every time when I turn to the Lord and then look at myself, I said, Lord, why did you choose me? I'm not worthy. Are you worthy? Did the Lord choose you, Marina, because you're the best person in the world? Definitely not. Paul says he is the chief sinner, and yet God chose him. Right? I don't think Paul ever forgot that he did some terrible things in the past. He even caused many Christians to be locked up, and he persecuted the church. And he was responsible for the death of Stephen. And he said he was a chief sinner. We call him the chief apostle. Paul will tell you, no, I'm not a chief apostle. I'm not even worthy to be one. He said, I'm a chief sinner. But you know, God loved him and chose him, just like He chose you and me. Not because we are good. This is what God told the people of Israel. I chose you. I took you out of Egypt. Not because you're a great people, right? But God did it also for His own glory and because He loved us. Because He is God. He knows everything. He knows already the future before it happens. He knows everything in the past. That is why when God told His people, I have loved you, you know the answer of His people is, What did He say? In what way have you loved us? What? We don't feel you love us. You let us go through a lot of troubles. And I've had so much problems and you didn't help me. Right? We complain, we murmur. Right? You don't murmur? We all do. We all complain. Lord, how come and why? I like to ask why, right? Rebecca, do you ask why? Oh, why? And why me? Why this and why that? We all complain a lot. So many times we just neglected to feel that love of God. You know, God did everything out of love, including just leaving you there alone to go through some trials. My children just got a little dog. And the dog was whining, ooh, wee, wah, whining. Right? I feel sorry for a dog, but not them. They don't feel sorry. I thought they don't care, but actually they really cared. But they are training that dog to be an obedient dog. Yeah, yeah, we are listening to the German right now. Okay, right. Sorry?
No, the German translator needs to select the German language.
Oh, okay. All right, okay. Yeah. Right. But actually, they're not neglecting the dog. They are training the dog. They love the dog. But I thought, hey, you're mistreating the dog. Come on. Well, the dog is hungry. Feed him now. I thought they're mistreating the dog. But they are training the dog to be an obedient dog, to be a good dog, to be a fine dog. Many times, this loving father of ours is training us and we misunderstood him. Why? How come I need help right now? How come you're not helping me? I'm so impatient. I'm so impatient. Just like that little dog there. So impatient. Right. But actually, it's the love of the father. It is the love of the Father. But his people didn't understand that. He says, in what way did you love me? Right? In my experience, you didn't love me. You left me alone. You didn't care for me. Right? We thought he didn't care, but no. God really loves us. There is not one moment that this wonderful God did not really care for us. He cares for us. Don't think if you're going through some sufferings, he didn't know and he didn't care. No. He cares for you more than you care for yourself. Except he knows best what to do, what is good for his people. But his people misunderstood him. And so many times we just left the first love for God. Yeah. We're distracted by so many things. Right? So they said, in what way did you love me? Well, how can God prove it? Now you tell me. It is so difficult for God to prove his love for you. Right, but the more we grow, the more we mature in life, then the more we understand him, then we will realize how much he loved us. And the priesthood, like we shared last night, to be a priest, you need to know the love of God. It's very, very important, right? We don't need to repeat, but I just want to emphasize this point. And God, in his wisdom, gave a very wonderful answer. You might not think the answer is wonderful. What was his answer? Was not Esau Jacob's brother? He went back to the history. Many times you have to go back to the history to know that God loves you. If you know your history, you know your history, right? Don't you? I think everybody knows his own history. If I look back my history, today I must really confess, he really loves me. because the way I was in all these years, and I'm still here, and he still didn't let me go and gave me up. You think he didn't love me? Did he love you? Right. Jacob and Esau, he went back as far as the very beginning of the nation of Israel. Not even from Abraham, not even from Isaac, but from Jacob. You all know that God, in his plan to have a people, he started with Abraham. Right? And through Abraham, Isaac, and from Isaac, Jacob. Now you tell me, why did he start with Jacob and not with Abraham? Right? Because there is a very important reason. You have to realize Abraham is just alone when God called him. It didn't say God love Abraham. He's a friend. Abraham is my good friend. Okay, that's fine. But then Abraham had two sons. Now there is a choice now. Right? There is a choice through Abraham, and one is through Hagar. And the other one is through Sarah. And to make the long story short, it's very clear to all of us that Ishmael is not God's choice. Right? This is very clear to everybody. Because, hey, it's not through Sarah. God told Abraham it must be the seed through Sarah. But Sarah was barren. So men try, Abraham and Sarah, they try to find a way to have a seed. Otherwise, we don't have an heir, right? So they did it in their own way, and with the wonderful advice of Sarah. Okay, you might as well take my handmaid, Hagar. And Hagar is very fruitful right away. Wow. Ishmael was born so quick. You want a quick job? Do you want a quick job? If you want to do a quick job, yeah, you can do it. You can use many different ways to gain a lot of people. You can use band, you can use music, you can hire a great preacher, you can... there are many ways that you can gain a lot of people without praying, without fasting, without asking the Lord, without waiting on him. There are many ways you can do a work. Right? To give birth to an heir. They couldn't wait. But God waited for so long until they're already in despair. You know, they thought, it's impossible now, so we better do something about it. And they did. But did God accept Ishmael? No. It was a very clear choice. No. No. Then, after that, Sarah, in an age that she could no longer, even naturally not possible, to bear a child. But for God it is possible. Then all of a sudden, she got pregnant and bore a child. And his name is called Isaac. I don't know if Isaac is a very good name. What does Isaac mean? It means he's laughing. He's laughing. You know, when Sarah was laughing because she overheard, God says, oh, yeah, at this time, next year, your wife, Sarah, is going to bear a child. And Sarah says, what, me? Me? He was laughing. I can't make it anymore. God heard her laughing. Sarah, why are you laughing? Sarah thought nobody saw her laughing. But praise the Lord, when a time came, Isaac was born. And now in Galatians, Paul told us that, in Galatians chapter 4, right? Paul told us, Ishmael is born according to the flesh. And God will never accept that which is born of the flesh. The firstborn, born of the flesh, God will not accept. He's rejected. Cast her out. With the Son, the mother and the Son, the very source, and also the baby that was born and the Son that was born. No, they cannot be an heir. Impossible. But that which is born of the Spirit. Now, Paul was very clear seeing that allegory of the heavenly Jerusalem and the earthly Jerusalem. Right? Of the handmaid, the flesh, and of Sarah, the grace. Right? Only that which is born of the Spirit counts. And this is a very clear separation there. It's very clear separation. Right? And now you have the third generation. The third generation is born. And when Jacob was born and Esau, what happened? How many? Through Rebekah, how many? Two, a twin. What does it mean, a twin? What is a twin? They look very similar, right? It's from the same source. With Sarah and Hagar, it's two different sources. But now you have a twin from the same source. And the other one, the firstborn was Esau, and then it was Jacob. Now, who was the favorite one of Jacob? Esau. Right? The favorite of Isaac. The favorite of Isaac was Esau. It's your natural choice. And the mother loved Jacob. You know, which one is better? It's very hard to choose. The father loves the firstborn, Esau, and the mother loves Jacob. Now, who do you want? Very difficult choice. Very difficult choice. But it was God who made the choice. God says, Jacob I love, Esau I hated. My, that's a very strong word. He didn't say, I didn't love Esau. I love Jacob. He says, I hate it. Even before they were born, God already made his choice. Why? Because God knew. God knew the end. God knew. Right. So here, you can really see it is at this point that God said very clearly, Jacob I loved, Esau I hated. Now, Esau represent what? Represent your natural man, yourself, the natural man. And yet they're twins. Right? The Lord wants to save your soul. But a soul, after it was fallen, became the natural man, the self. Right. And this self will steal your birthright, despising the birthright. You know Esau. I don't need to go into it. I don't know if I list some of the verses there, right? I think I did, right? In Genesis chapter 25 and chapter 32, right? You can really see that. also in Hebrews chapter 12, right, 16 to 17. Right. Esau despised the birthright. Despised the birthright. Just for a little bowl of soup to satisfy his hunger. You think Esau is going to die of hunger? It's just one meal. He just came back from sports. He came back from training, hunting. It's his hobby. And he's so hungry. And Jacob was there cooking and preparing some red bean soup. At least it's color red, right? And Esau says, "Oh, I'm dying of hunger." Well, actually, he's not dying. Do you think he's dying? You die just for one bowl of soup? Right. He's so profane. The word profane there, describing Esau, it shows that he did not appreciate anything that is holy, anything that is from God, anything that is of the temple of God. But he's just for the satisfaction of himself. And so, right, he had to pay, right? Well, Jacob is a supplanter, right? Jacob is not exactly a very fine and honest and good boy, right? Jacob says, okay, you may have this bowl of soup, but you have to pay. What are you going to pay? Okay, well, whatever you want. And Jacob says, give me your birthright. Now the birthright is really amazing. It is the most precious thing, actually, that you can have, the birthright. You gain the inheritance. You gain the blessings. The blessings from God. You gain the priesthood, the firstborn. Right, you have a double portion of the inheritance and you gain the kingship. Yeah. You're going to rule and reign. At the very end, when everything is gone, what do you have? You'll have nothing. When the Lord comes back, everything else will be finished, burned away. Peter described it, wrapped up like an old garment, and everything will be thrown away. Right. So that means, right, Esau is profane. He does not appreciate anything that is holy, that belongs to God. He looks down on it. He despised his birthright. And that is your soul life, yourself, the ego. Be careful. If you're so much for yourself, you're going to sell your birthright. So the profanity of Esau is that he looked down, he despised the birthright. He didn't appreciate it. And he is just for the satisfaction of his soul. The Lord says, if you save your soul today by satisfying yourself what you like, oh, I like this, I'm going to get it. I like that, I'm going to get it. And I like this, I'm going to... Well, you go, yes, you may get it, but you have to pay a price for it. So what price? Outwardly, it's a dollar sign, right? But in reality, it is your birthright. So just for a morsel of food, a bowl of food, it's not even a birthday party meal with wonderful cakes and ice cream and fried chicken and steak and why, all kinds of wonderful things. No, it's just a bowl of soup. Just for a moment of satisfaction, a moment of satisfaction, you sell your birthright. Is that worth it? Sometimes I thought, my goodness, I'm so foolish. You gain a satisfaction of your soul, but it's only for 5 minutes, maybe for 1 hour. After you watch that guy shooting the ball into the basket, that's not even a bowl of soup, okay? Shooting the ball in a, wow, he shoot a basket from the middle of the field. Wow, my. And after the game is over, are you happy, satisfied? What do you gain after that? You lose. You lose. The team won, but you lose. What did you lose? The birthright. You lose a part of your inheritance. You gain the whole world, the Lord says, but you will lose your soul. That is Esau. That is your twin brother. Your twin brother. So close to you. It's you, and yet it's not you. It's the fallen you. It's the ego, the self, the natural man. That is why Paul says the natural man, a Christian, he's talking about a Christian, the natural man of a Christian does not receive anything of the Spirit of God. Well, you may understand it. I understand, but you don't appreciate it. Because if you really appreciate it, you want to get it. You want it. And this is why here, spiritually, I'm not talking about Jacob and Esau in the flesh. I'm applying it to us there. Right. We all need to see, no, God hates Esau. He's wild. He's wild. He's a wild man. Now, how about Jacob? Is Jacob a good man? You think Jacob is a good name? Is Jacob a good name? What does Jacob mean? He is a supplanter. He is always thinking of how can I take advantage of you? He is a plotter. He is always thinking of, I'm going to get this, and how am I going to get that? And why? He is a supplanter. He is not really evil. And not good either. I don't know how to say it. Right? Subtle. Very subtle. Very subtle. But why did God choose him and loved him? Because God's purpose in Jacob is to change and transform this person. We are all fallen human beings. But God sees something that he can invest there in you. And that investment God will gain by changing you, by transforming you. Esau, you cannot change him. You have to crucify him. This is why Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that live, but we still live ourselves. It's very hard to get rid of it. Right? That's why there is transformation, and that is why there is his discipline and his chastisement and his purification work, his refining work. Your whole life is a life of refinement, change. You need to change. But I've seen so many Christians not changed. After so many years of being a Christian, they're not changed. Yes, we were terrible to start with, but praise the Lord, God will change you. Are you willing to be changed? Are you willing to change? And God loves you. He wants you to change, to transform you into the image of Christ. A Christian life without any change, especially after so many years of being a Christian, your old self is still there, your old habit is still there, right? Your old personality is still there. You don't change. It's not good. You remain Jacob, it's not good. The good thing about Jacob is he desires to seek after him. He's always wrestling with God. He's always dealing with God because God is always dealing with him. And God used so many situations to change Jacob. No, you think he was very smart, but he got a smarter uncle who cheated him so many times. You think you're smart? God will bring a smarter person than you to cheat you. How about that? In order to change him. Yeah. Amazing. Right. So don't think you're so smart, okay? If you think you're smart, God will put you in an environment that is smarter than you. God has wonderful ways to change us. Everything is used by God. So don't complain. Learn from the situation. Don't react. Don't complain. Don't murmur. What did Paul says? Do all things without murmuring. Because God is using that situation to teach you. And if you have not learned, well, you have to repeat, right? If you don't pass first grade, you have to repeat. And you don't pass it again, you have to repeat again until you pass it, then you go to second grade. That's God's way. This is why he loves Jacob, because Jacob is willing to change. He's able to change this man, Jacob. Although Jacob is strong, he is really strong, right? He wrestled with God. He wrestled with God. Yep. He argued with God. He negotiated with God. Right, he made promises, if you do this, then I will do that, right? Well, he's a good negotiator. That's Jacob. But you know, let me tell you, you can never win against God. But hey, God allows you to negotiate with him. If you do this for me, then I will do this for you. It's okay. Okay, God says that's fine. God agrees, but not all the time. Right? So at the very end, when he was about to go and meet his brother, and he knew and he thought his brother was going to kill him, right? Because he stole the brother's blessing. Right? But actually he didn't steal it, he bought it. You might think he stole Esau's blessing. No, it was not his fault. It was Esau's fault. He sold the birthright. So He got a birthright, but he had to run away from home. So it doesn't mean that, oh, I got a blessing now and no trouble. No, there's a lot of trouble. It's a lot of trouble. I don't know about you. I went through a lot of trouble in my Christian life. Right? And I'm always hoping that there will be less trouble, but now I'm not hoping for anything anymore. Because I told the Lord, that's bad enough. Okay, no more of that. Then there's more. There's really more. Right? So I said, okay, Lord, it's up to you. It's up to you. Whatever you like to do, just do it. It doesn't matter. Right? But this is the way. So it was through Jacob, in his process of transformation, that he became Israel. Especially at the time when he was wrestling with God and he will not let God go. Right? The angel of God, which is actually God himself, told Jacob in the wrestling, Jacob, let go, let go. Jacob says, no. No, unless you bless me. If you don't bless me, I'm not going to let you go. This is a very good attitude. Don't let God go so easily. Yeah. So what did God do? God touched his joint here. Right? His hip joint. And then, oh, it is painful, definitely painful, and he let go. And God told him, from now on, your name is no longer Jacob, but Israel, the Prince of God. Yeah. God changed his name. In the Bible, changing the name is transformation. Just like he changed Peter's name, right? After Peter saw the revelation, God told Peter, your name is no longer Simon, but Peter, a stone for God's building. It's good to have names changed. Right? And all of this process is a proof that God loved Jacob. Jacob I have loved. But it does not mean that when God loved Jacob, God gave him a very good life. He doesn't have to go through anything. Everything is just given to him as a gift. No, he went through. And then he had so much trouble with his 12 sons and one daughter. 13 children. You know, my parents have 13 children, right? It's still a mystery for me today, right? A family with 13 kids, my goodness. Right. But, hey. 13 kids is not so easy. Right. And all his 12 sons, they gave him a lot of headaches. And they sold the one that is the favorite of Jacob to Egypt and told his father he died. He was killed. Jacob went through all kinds of trouble. But, praise God, you can see at the very end his blessing to all of his children, the 12 tribes. This is how God gained his people. This is how God gained his people. And this is the love of God. But unfortunately, God's people refuse to be changed. Yeah. Right. Yeah. What can we say? What can we say? We can say nothing. God really loves us. Many times I ask God, if you loved us, how come? Look at us, we are almost like nothing now. Look at the Roman Catholic Church, it's so big. Look at so many organizations, they're so big. And look at us, just a few poor little people there. We're all sitting here, nothing. Father, is this your love? Do you really love us? What do you think, Jorge? He loves us? Well, if he loves us, how come we cannot even fill the meeting hall? Is that love, Marina? That's right. We are the elect of God. We are the elect of God. You know, Ishmael is a strong guy. Ishmael is very strong. He's called an ass, a donkey, a wild donkey. Nobody could tame a wild donkey. That's what Ishmael means. But Esau also means wild. Right. So, but the Lord loves us. And because of his love, he is constantly saving us to the uttermost, changing us, transforming us. Transforming us. Even today, there are quite a few aspects in my life I told the Lord, Lord, I want to change. You must help me to change. Whatever it takes, change me. Yeah. Until we are perfected. To be perfected and be perfect as you are perfect. To be saved to the uttermost. My thoughts, my emotion, the soul. Right? To be sanctified completely. Spirit, soul, and body. Right? To be holy and blameless. To be without blemish at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. I said, God, you have to do it. Not after your coming, but before your coming. Right. And this is God's love. Do not misunderstand his love. And like we shared yesterday, the priesthood needs to know the love of God. If you don't know the love of God, you're going to give up sometime. You're going to be offended. You're going to get mad. I don't like that. I don't like this. Well, okay, you may not like it, but what are you going to do? Okay, I don't like you. I don't like this. I don't like that. Okay. What are you going to do? You like your family all the time? Well, after your dad scold you, you say, goodbye, I'm leaving the home. Why? How about that, Rebecca? Do you do that? No, you don't. But if you are Esau, you are so much in yourself, easily offended, you might lose your inheritance. Yep, sold your birthright. So at the very end, just like the church in Ephesus, they left the first love. God's people Sorry, they became insensitive to God's love. So now God specifically used quite a few descriptions about what he was going to do with Esau. Hey, look, Esau I have hated. Verse 3, and laid waste his mountains and his heritage for the jackals of the wilderness. His heritage became just a place for the jackals, right? For the coyotes, for the wild animals. Right? And even Esau said, we have been impoverished, but we will return. Wow, don't think Esau is going to give up so easily. We will return and build up the desolate places again. Don't think it is so easy to get rid of yourself, okay? God made it desolate. They said, no, I'm going to rebuild it quickly and fast. Yep. But the Lord says, they may build, but I will throw down. So, praise God. Right? They may build 10 times, the Lord will tear it down 11 times. They shall be called the territory of wickedness. My goodness. The self, the soul life is wicked. It caused you to fall. It stirred up your desire for the flesh, for covetousness, for the love of the world. That is why John says, do not love the world. Yeah. Right? So the Lord says, and the people against whom the Lord will have indignation forever. So better learn to get rid of it through the cross. Paul says, I have been crucified. Paul have learned the lesson. It's no longer I, he says. It is not I. He says, I did so many things, more than the apostles, but it's not I. Learn to say this. It's not I. Don't say, I did it. I want that. I did this, and I can do this, and I am the responsible one. I am the leading one. I am this. I am that. You should learn to say, I am nothing. I'm nothing. Because we are truly nothing. The I is described right here, Esau. Don't elevate yourself. No, the Lord says, you want to follow me? We want to be those who follow the Lamb wherever he goes? You deny yourself. A Christian who never learned to deny himself all the time, my opinion, I think this is right. I like this and I don't like that. And this is my opinion and all that. You're finished with your inheritance. You have to learn to identify, that is Esau. That is Esau. God hates Esau. Yeah. Right. And then if we learn to deny the soul life, that's why we still have the Day of Atonement, the Feast of the Day of Atonement. You have to afflict your soul, right? Afflict your soul. Say no. Even if your soul is suffering, howling and whining, just like, that little dog there, right? I thought only babies whined because they are crying out because they are so hungry. But, oh my goodness, that little dog did the same thing. Oh, for over an hour. Oh my goodness. I said, whoa. I'm glad he's just a guest in my house. But hey, you know, this is Esau. You have to say, oh, Esau, oh, well, maybe you should rename the dog. Yeah, my. Then, I tell you, if we learn this, to deny ourselves, carry up the cross and follow him, right? And then to afflict the soul, keep the day of the atonement, then we'll make it. Praise the Lord. Then, the Lord says, your eyes, verse 5, shall see, and you shall say, the Lord is magnified beyond the border of Israel. That means, my, through Israel. After the work is done, is completed, God is going to, through the nation of Israel, rule over the whole earth. His kingdom is going to go beyond the border of Israel. When the kingdom of the Lord comes, he is going to rule over all the nations. Don't you want to miss it, or you want to be a partaker of that? Amen? Well, now you know, right? You have to love Jacob, just like the Lord loved Jacob, and go through the transformation process to become Israel, and you have to learn to hate the self, the soul life, the I, the ego, the natural man. You have to learn to say no, no. No, wild man, stop, stay, sit. Yep. You have to do this, otherwise you might lose your birthright. And now is still a time for us to repent. Repent. That's why in Malachi the Lord did say a word, return to me, and I will return to you. Later on we come to that. But today you really need to see this. And point C, unfortunately, God's people became insensitive toward God's love. Do not be insensitive to God's love. Return to his love. Return to his love. I'd like to read with you all together. Let us go to maybe Romans chapter 8. Just to encourage every one of us. Nah? What is happening? No. Aya. This is not right. Maybe you can read Romans chapter 8 to me. Yeah. Okay, I got it now. Sometimes the computer gets stuck. It's not good. Yeah, amen. Towards the end there, right. Beginning in verse 28, I'll just read it to you. And we know that all things work together for the good of Jacob, for the good of those who love God. If you love God, all things work together for good. To those who are called according to his purpose, for whom he foreknew, you see, God knew everything already. That's why he chose Jacob. Because he knew what's going to happen between these two brothers. He knew. Right? It's not that he hated one, but because he foreknew already That is why he chose Jacob, because he knew. He is not biased. No, God is not biased. But God knew. Hey, you have to realize we are fallen people. Sin entered. We're not, you know, Adam when created without any trouble. No, after man is deceived by the serpent, sin entered and we became a terrible serpent, a little serpent. You're not, how do you say it? You're dangerous. You're a dangerous creature. John says, you generation of vipers. My goodness, you know. Something terrible. Right. So, but God loves Jacob. Remember. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. Now this is important. You must have a desire in your heart. If you're Jacob, you must have a desire. Lord, I want to be conformed to your image. I refuse to stay the way I am. That does not mean I'm perfect right now, but I refuse. I said, no, Lord, I want to change. I'm not going to let you go unless you change me. Yeah. So he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he, the Lord Jesus, might be the firstborn among many brethren. Praise the Lord. God is going to have many sons just like the firstborn. Not just natural Christians, no. There are fleshly Christians, there are natural Christians, and there are also spiritual Christians. Those who are conformed to the image of the firstborn Son of God. Right. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. Whom he justified, these he also glorified. My, there's a lot of work to do. Not just to be justified. Right? But to be transformed so that we will become glorious. It's a long process. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against God? No. Can the enemy stop God's work? No. You have to trust in God. He's going to finish his job. Believe me, he's going to finish his job. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for all of us, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things that you need to reach the goal? Freely. Right. So who shall bring a charge against God's elect? God elected Jacob. It is God who justified. And who is he who condemns? No, it is Christ who died. And furthermore, he is risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us as our great heavenly high priest, according to the order of Melchizedek. Who shall separate us from the doctrine of Christ? No. The teachings of Christ. The love of Christ. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulation? Distress? Persecution? How about famine? A bowl of soup? Nakedness or peril or sword. Yeah. As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yeah. This is the experience of Paul. In his whole life, serving the Lord, he is like a sheep being slaughtered every day. Not just once, every day. Yeah. Yet in all these things, Paul said, we are more than conquerors through him who taught us. No? Through him who loved us. Yeah, who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other created things shall be able to separate us from the faith of God. No? From what? Say it loudly. From the love. Nobody can hear you. From what? The love of God. How many times did he say love of God? The love, the love, the love of God. Nothing can separate you and any one of us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Obviously, if this love is gone, you might as well quit. You might as well quit because you're doing just a lot of things without the love, and you can do just things. You're just doing things. So praise the Lord for this wonderful love. Amen. Never ever leave this best love, this first love, the love of God. If we do, we are already fallen. And we can close up. We can close up. Amen. Now, tonight we go to point number 3. I hope that I'll do it quickly. But the first point is so important that I thought I have to dwell in it. Right. Then we go to point 3 this evening. Quite a few points. But it's all right. We can make it short and to the point. Right. And because of his love for the priesthood, the Lord will rebuke them very, very strongly, especially to the priest. The priesthood. That shows how important the priesthood is in God's plan. In his entire plan and purpose, without a priesthood, it doesn't work. So many Christians, so many, right, been Christians for 50, 60 years, they remain the same. There's no change. No change. No transformation. This is not normal. Can you imagine your little girl after 50 years remains like this? Yeah, your son, your daughter, after 50 years, still this much, this high. Still like a child? Is it normal? Will you be very concerned? You will say, what's wrong with my child? Right. You'll be going every day to the doctor to bring the child to the doctor. But what about God's children? No change. Actually, every month, every year, we should be changing. It's not normal for Christian. Year after year, there's no change. No, we have to be concerned if our Christian life, we do not change. Even in my age, I still want to be changed. I still want to go on. Because the process, as long as I'm still alive in this earth, I need more transformation. What am I going to do if for the next 4 years? I need to be transformed, need to be changed. This is very important. Don't think it is not important. Because if you are a Christian that you don't change, you can never go on. You will be stuck in anything. You're going to be stuck because you don't change. Look at the children going to school from first grade all the way now, finishing elementary school now, you're going on to high school, and then you're going on to college. You keep on changing. You keep on learning new things. But if a Christian doesn't change, hey, you're going to practice priesthood. You don't change, you're going to stay like that, just bringing traditionally something to the Father, anything to the Father. This is what happened to them. Because you are not a Christian that is changing all the time, that is improving all the time, that is gaining Christ all the time. Right? And people don't change. I've known Christians after so long in a group, that's it. You cannot change them anymore. And that also shows that their Christian life is dead. Because if you're dead, you don't change anymore. You become corrupted. You decay. You don't grow anymore. So the matter of Jacob being transformed, don't think, oh, I know the doctrine. Oh, forget about the doctrine. We are not talking about the doctrine. I'm talking about you and me changing. Don't talk about doctrine. If it's a matter of a doctrine, you can forget it. No. The Lord wants to see every single one of us changing every day, every week, every month, every year. And you must be, I wouldn't use the word desperate, but you must be consistent with the Lord, saying, Lord, change me. I'm not going to remain like this. I don't want this to be in my heart. Get rid of it. And Lord, you show me the way and strengthen me to do it, my inner man. And don't let the Lord go so easily. No, otherwise you won't change. So if you want to change, you need to cooperate with the Lord and change. Just like going to school, you want to graduate, you need to work hard. You need to study. Right? Otherwise, you may not graduate. And although if you're in a terrible school, you'll graduate, but you know nothing. You might as well not graduate. So we need to be those who want to be transformed, to be more glorious. The word glory may mean nothing to you, but hey, you have to be changed. More Christ, more glory, more expression, more reality, more substance. And so that even you yourself, you will see the change. If you cannot see the change, then other people cannot see your change. Paul told Timothy, let your progress be seen and be known by all. That means if people cannot see the change in you, that means you're not changing, period. Right? So may the Lord burden us. It's not just a doctrine. Right? Jacob I have loved, Esau I have hated. Hey, you better know what the Lord is talking about here. Oh, he's not talking about Jacob and Esau. He's talking about Jacob. And Esau, he's talking about you and me. So I hope that the brothers and sisters everywhere listening to this message will not think, oh yeah, I know transformation. So what if you know? The question is, are you transformed? Are you changed? Let your wife tell you if you're changed. Let your husband tell the wife if he's changed. Yeah. Let the parents tell whether the children are changed or not. Right. And we in the church life, we need to see the change. change to more glory, not negative change, to change for the worse. No. And it is by love, this is a very important factor for transformation. Okay. If this factor of love is missing, it is very difficult to change. It is very difficult to change. The same thing with a dog. You need to show a little love for a dog, then it's easier. Otherwise, he bites. Okay, praise the Lord. Okay.